The sweet blessing and peace of our Lord Jesus be with you all, heart dwellers. This message is about water gates. And water gates are something that's used to stop the flow of a channel of some kind, a canal, a stream. Gates are put up and the water begins to back up. Floodgates are very similar to that. And the Lord is using this analogy to describe one of the things that we're going to have to work with as we try to reach people for him. So this was the message that he had. Oh Lord, this morning has been so difficult and distracting. I keep seeing the outlying areas of the desert around Espanola and beyond, and people that are isolated that are difficult to reach except with perhaps the radio. And that's where my heart seems to be. Guide me, Lord, and infuse into me the direction you want me to go. My heart aches for them. And what I was seeing was just isolated houses out in the desert. And people living in those places were isolated from the rest of the community. And I just had this really gripping sense of loneliness. The Lord replied to me. He said, yes, you've read my heart about those who are isolated. They are the most prone to attacks against the faith and condemnation. They languish for hope, surrounded by sin and those heavily into drugs and alcohol. Oh, how I long to bring them a message of hope, that I have not abandoned them. They are not cast off or forgotten by me. Rather, each day my heart beats stronger and stronger for them, sending them innumerable graces to keep their faith afloat and calling upon my people to minister to them. Country living can be very destructive. It has its own set of drawbacks, mostly isolation and loneliness. Watching evangelists on TV doesn't always reach down deep into those insecure and questioning places. My faithful ones, look for the souls who have nothing, those who have fallen away from the churches and feel guilty, confused, and dissatisfied. They had questions that were never answered, and in their dealings with other Christians, many of them came away with more doubts about me, my love for them, and where they stood with me. The yoke of guilt has been placed on many, many shoulders of those who have abandoned the assembling of the brethren. Very simply, they were not getting fed. They were not growing. They were not being healed and raised up. And deep, deep down inside, they felt going to a church was an empty, man-pleasing event. But that does not negate my presence, my active presence in their lives. I am with them in a very big way, but most are under such a heavy yoke of condemnation, they avoid having prayer times with me. They avoid worship, thinking it to be only a corporate affair, and they avoid taking on the burdens of prayer for others because they've been fooled into thinking their prayers are not heard or valid. Do you see how deeply Satan has entrenched himself in these souls? There is a deadly apathy that sets in, a sense of hopelessness, because they feel they failed to fit in and failed me as well. These are the ones I want you to be on the lookout for. They are everywhere. Yes, they're next door and dotted around in every business you frequent. They, in fact, have given up on themselves and are left with a yearning they try to suppress. How do I get back in good graces with God? Their impediment is false guilt, because the ways of men in the church didn't meet their needs. They've been led to believe there's something wrong with them. Oh yes, they will find fault with the churches and the pastors, but beneath that justifying veneer, they're deeply disillusioned with the faith, and even with me. They're falling out of churches in droves. Why? because I'm opening their eyes to the emptiness they feel there. Most do not realize they are to bring me into church and worship me on this day. Rather, they go to encounter me. And if I'm not anointing the worship and the teaching, they leave disappointed. They long for intimacy, simply put. Intimacy is something no church can provide for them, although it should be taught. This is where I'm sending you. Teach intimacy with me. Teach discernment. Teach humility. And teach them, most of all, that I long for their attentions more than they long for me. I know them and love them to distraction, right where they stand. Open the door for me. Reconcile me to my people. Many of you have made major inroads in your relationship with me. You sense my presence. You feel my pleasure and displeasure with things around you. You know I love you and will talk with you, so you listen and you hear me. Although more of you must be taught that I don't use a megaphone to communicate. It's a stirring in your heart with words. Once you remove the water gate of unbelief, it can flow, and journaling is a major way to keep it flowing, and flowing, and flowing. Do you know that I could easily keep you busy listening to me for a good hour? Every day I have something fresh and new to say to you. Those of you who use anointed readings from the Bible or devotional book, like the Bible promises, those of you who trust me enough that you pray and allow me to open just to the right thing, you know without a shadow of a doubt I am with you. I prove it every time you open your Bible. Truly it amazes you. And I too am amazed, but not because I speak to you. I'm amazed at that water gate of unbelief you close on the source of those living waters. And as the Lord was talking, I thought to myself, I'm not like that, am I, Lord? He replied, yes, beloved, I am most certainly talking to you too. You come to me almost every day thinking, is he going to speak to me today? That's true, I do. When I have proven over and over again, I'm right here, full of wisdom, to share with you. Not when you feel worthy, not when you feel anointed or full of my spirit, not when you feel you've done something to please me or displease me. No, none of that has any bearing on my desire to speak to you every day. Once you open that water gate of unbelief, once you receive those first few words, then these living waters can come gushing forth from within you, because I live in you and I'm the source of all life and all wisdom. So a major part of your job in restoring souls to me is opening the water gates of unbelief so I can flow through them unhindered, convincing people of their great worth in my eyes. Convincing them that their lives have a very unique and important purpose, that I use everyone to the degree they're willing to be used. If they're mothers, I use them to love their husbands and children and raise them up in the way they should go. If they're businessmen, I present opportunities in their lives to witness to their associates. And as they mature, I also bring before them the challenge of honesty and faithfulness to me, which very often costs them much. But in each of these little scenarios, the faith is spread and grows. The place that is still most often stunted is their own deep-down opinion of themselves and a false notion that they are not worthy of me. This keeps them from intimacy with me. What a faith killer that is. I didn't call you to be worthy. I called you to believe that my sacrifice on the cross, when I tore the temple veil and expose the Holy of Holies, that my grace is sufficient for you, sufficient to make you worthy to commune in fellowship with me. This is a huge challenge, not only because the world is continually downgrading men and women, but because the enemy is fortifying an ironclad yoke of guilt, which forever haunts their thoughts and hinders openness with me in prayer. This becomes a water gate that closes off that secret place where I commune with souls. Open the water gates, my ministers. You've been called and chosen. Yes, prepare the way of the Lord. Open those water gates that all men may be reconciled to me in sweet and tender love, just as they are.